black guy I saw in the news conference, ain't you?
Yeah, that's me.
This is car 15. I'm gonna need backup. I've got a stolen vehicle here.
But this is my car.
Suspects are getting belligerent.
What?
Officer down.
Greetings, boys and girls. Welcome to another frightful episode of Unholy Mofos. It's Terror-tainment.
How was that?
Oh, okay.
No. Yeah.
Might have to get some earplugs for next time. Yeah.
I bet Stan's earbuds are gone by now. So, yeah, if you have not figured out this episode, we are doing some Tales from the Crypt episodes 1 and 2. And, of course, I am Jake the Snake alongside...
with your host, Scott.
Yes. So, Tales from the Crypt. This should be an exciting episode.
Can't wait, man. Fucking been prepping for this episode since the beginning.
Yeah. One of many, many, many planned.
Yeah. We plan on doing the entire fucking series.
Yeah. Well, we'll see how that goes.
It's going to take us a couple of years, but we'll do it.
Yeah. I'll be old and gray by the time it's done. Or dead. I don't know.
You're going to be bald. Oh, wait!
Oh. Oh, you're so clever.
If you didn't know, our co-host here, he's bald. He's embraced the lifestyle.
Hey, a lot of guys embrace the lifestyle. David Germain of Disturbed. Howie Mandel. Freddy Krueger's bald.
Yeah, but all of his hair got burned off.
Yeah. Jason Voorhees is bald.
No, he's not. There's factual proof that he's got hair. Look at Jason X.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, look at that fine movie.
That fabulous piece of film.
Alright. Time to get into the usual segment. First up, football. And what a week of the fantasy this was. You've been paying attention to the fantasy team?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you got quite a close matchup.
I've already won my week. And I still got one more guy to go.
Ditto me, but oh shit, I am like fucking killing Dan. Dude, I'm gonna have the largest margin of victory 2 weeks in a row, bitch. Yeah!
Well, good for you.
Man.
I just hope my QB can get some work done.
And
my other QB got his ass kicked.
And the next best thing, well, another matchup was Nudie versus Stan, and, well, Nudie's winning that. Why that's good news for me is because my victory, along with Stan losing, that's going to move me into spot number 4.
For the playoffs, and I hope you and me face off so I can kick your ass out our first round.
Well, I'm not sure how the matchups go, but I guess we shall see.
Bring it, bitch.
Yeah. Of course, I still need to win next week. Yeah, I don't know, man. I possibly could. My team's been scoring so much, and Nudie's team not so much.
Yeah, look at his favorite fucking team. The Patriots have lost 2 times in a row. To Philadelphia, nonetheless.
And of course, there's the other matchup. The battle of the bottom 2 guys of our league. Craig and Ballsack. And, man, Craig just had the comeback of the century. Seriously, he was down 90 points. And now he's winning by 10. Ballsack truly is the quitters. I just found that so funny that the highest scoring matchup is between the bottom 2 guys of our league. but as for actual football, well, for me, it kind of sucked this weekend. Bears lost to the 49ers, and Hawkeyes lost the Big Ten Championship, so no playoffs. But on the other hand, Rose Bowl, that's good enough.
Oh, boo-hoo. Get that shit.
Yeah, and oh boy, almost sucked. NFW was going to end that night because, holy shit, major, argument going on between me and Nudie. He thought just because I was being a dick to him for his team losing, he'd be a dick to me for my team losing.
You gotta start threatening to quit. Quit, I quit, I quit. Since he doesn't listen to this show, I can say that kind of shit.
Well, might want to hold off before
he's going to be on an episode. He's not going to listen to it.
I guess. Well, guess not much else I really wanted to say about football this week. What about you?
I think it's bullshit that my team was not fucking televised. The New York versus New York game was not televised. Bullshit.
Yeah. Yeah, I was watching that, like, through Red Zone, though. Yeah, crazy ending. Well, probably not the ending you wanted, but...
Don't remind me.
Alright. Yeah. But, oh yeah, Carolina, they still held on. They're still undefeated.
Fucking New Orleans gave them one hell of a fight, though.
Oh, yeah. No kidding. I just gotta say, that's why I think that team's going to the Super Bowl. Because they shown they can be, they can face some adversity, but they will respond to that adversity like hell, man.
Watching that game is probably like watching it with the Giants versus New Orleans, that back and forth touchdown game.
Yeah, oh yeah, no kidding. Yeah, well, I like that game because that was one of the reasons I won big time in fantasy.
For Cam.
Oh, yeah. Cam's going to lead me to the promised land.
Rodgers isn't looking too hot anymore.
Yeah, well, he did. He did decent, of course. Now, ooh,
a Hail Mary to win the game.
Yeah, it seems. Nowadays, Rodgers gets most of his points from the end of the games.
Yeah, but he ain't getting no 30 points like Cam is.
Nope. Damn. Cam almost got 40 points. So damn close. Yeah. But I gotta say, for NFC, though, I'm still thinking it's gonna be Panthers and Cardinals. One of those two, but I gotta say, looking like Seahawks might be a dangerous team in the playoffs.
Yeah, I highly doubt that. I think they're going to, you know, become a shitty team again.
Yeah.
You know, they've had a few good games, but, you know, I think that's just going to wear off.
Eh, you just never know, man. I mean, they laid an ass-whooping to the Vikings yesterday. Major ass-whooping.
Teddy would have only got me 3 fucking points. I still would have beat fucking Jared, but...
Craig,
yeah.
Yeah, well, I'm just saying, don't quite sleep on the Seahawks just yet until they lose in the playoffs. That is, hey, see, NFL man, you never know what's going to happen.
Yeah,
man. Well, and speaking of other side of the spectrum, the AFC. Well, Patriots losing 2 in a row. The Bengals are now the number 1 seed in the AFC. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And the Broncos are next, and, well, 2 weeks from now, it's going to be the Bengals versus the Broncos on, I think, Monday Night Football. Oh, that should be a good matchup.
I thought it was Sunday. Could be wrong.
Yeah, it could be wrong, too. Sunday, Monday night. One of those two. Okay. Yes. That's all for football. So, time for some news stories. Go fuck yourself, San Diego.
From the entire Channel 4 news team, I'm Veronica Corningstone.
And I'm Ron Burgundy. Go fuck yourself, San Diego.
Ah! Well, first of all, I want to read some really awesome news I just read. The latest release, horror release, Krampus, has debuted at number 2 at the box office this weekend. That's really impressive. It had a budget of $15 million and grossed $16 million this weekend. So, yeah. And for worldwide release, it's approximately $20 million. So, that's a big hit for an original horror movie.
Yeah, but you know, if they're going to be a fucking success, there's going to be another one.
Yeah. I mean, dude, this movie isn't, it's not a remake, not a sequel, just an original horror movie, and that's just fucking awesome, dude. And all I'm hearing is that this is a really good movie, and so I think I may see this today or tomorrow, whichever comes first.
Yeah, I guarantee you it's just a shit ton of jump scares.
Yeah, I don't know, man. From what I'm hearing, it's got kind of a Gremlins vibe to it. Some awesome creature effects. Hell, I'm looking at a picture right now in that article of this freaky-looking teddy bear thing. Good God, that is creepy-looking. Oh, yeah. Score 1 for original horror. And, well, speaking of things that aren't original, finally some news about the Friday the 13th movie. Well, good news is it's got a new writer, Aaron Gusukowski, I guess I say. And what he's known for is that Jake Gyllenhaal and Hugh Jackman movie, Prisoners. Yeah. That was a good movie, but man, I can't imagine some guy writing the Friday the 13th movie, you know, coming from that. It was like, oh, how do I describe it? Just like, kind of a punch in the gut type movie. I'm like, holy shit. And of course, some good performances, I mean, that goes without saying if you're talking about a Jake Gyllenhaal movie.
Well, of course.
Yeah. But the bad news is, they just lost the director, though. David Bruckner was the director, and now they're looking for a new director. Oh. Because
nobody wants to direct another remake.
Sorry. Yeah. And it was just... This movie's got a January 13th, 2017 release, so... They've got about a year.
Yeah, you can't fucking release a movie date without a director.
Mm-hmm. I'm getting bad feelings about this, but I hope I'm wrong. Well, next bit of news. Another sequel. Apparently, now, The Strangers is getting a sequel. The Strangers from, I think it was 2008. With Liv Tyler, about some people getting stalked in their house by these masked people in the middle of nowhere.
No backstory.
Yeah.
On them.
Yep. She asked, "Why are you doing this?" "Because you are home." Oh, and I gotta say, maybe one of the creepiest movies ever, just solely for that reason right there. But, yeah, there's been talks about a sequel, like, forever. And so I'm going to take this news with a grain of salt. Hopefully it's for real this time.
I don't know, man. I don't know if a sequel will work for this movie.
Yeah, I'm interested. I guess we shall see. And,
If you fuck it up, you fuck it up.
Yep.
And there's no taking it back.
If they do fuck it up, well, there's always the original. Last bit of news I want to read. Well, the 1980 slasher movie Pieces is finally getting a Blu-ray release in February. Let's see, does it say who's releasing it? Grindhouse Releasing. I was hoping this would be a... Shout Factory release someday, but can't complain. It's getting good Blu-ray release and looks like a bunch of awesome special features. Yeah, so I can't wait to do this then. And I gotta say, when I get this release, I'd say we should do a show on it.
Are you sure about that?
I fucking am sure.
Are you sure you're sure?
200%.
Have you seen that movie?
Many, many times.
So I take it you enjoy that movie.
Bunch of gore, bunch of boobies. Why do you not think I'd enjoy it?
I don't know. Hostel on a train.
Hostile on a...
Shit, that's what that movie reminds me of. I don't know why, it just does. You know, it's one of them weird things. And that was shitty, so...
There's no trains in that movie.
It's all connected in some weird way in my head. You can't bitch about it. My brain thinks in weird ways.
I'd say so.
Don't laugh. I don't give you shit about your misdeeds.
I'm not even laughing.
Maybe that's why I'm so fucked up in the head.
No comment. All right. Moving on. No, that's it for new. So, what have you been watching?
This sucks. Change it.
I'm going to tell you the only thing I have been watching this week is American Dad. I watched 8 fucking seasons worth. I don't know why, I just felt like watching it, so. What have you been watching, Jake?
Yeah, quite a bit. Well, started binge watching another TV series, this time The Big Bang Theory.
Gay.
As for movies, well, last Monday, I decided to watch Avengers Age of Ultron instead of the Monday night matchup. Yeah, I thought that was more interesting than Ravens backups versus the Cleveland Browns. Although I understand it's a hell of a closing, but yeah. But yeah, Age of Ultron, still damn awesome. Especially the Hulkbuster scene, that still makes me laugh. And of course, the scene where Vision picks up Thor's hammer. Ah, still fucking awesome.
Everybody shits their pants. What?
Then I watched Mad Max Fury Road for the first time, and I regret it took me this long to watch it, because that is a pretty badass movie. And
no comment.
Last thing I watched, oh boy, I watched something on YouTube called Have a Turtle Christmas. Christmas special of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles with the worst costumes I might have ever seen, both the turtles and Master Splinter, and some really bad musical numbers. Like, at the beginning, they're singing Deck the Halls, but Leo's singing it in like a Jamaican accent for what reason, I do not know. Funny part of that is one part he's singing, "Let's sing this part together." But the way he says it is sounding like, "Let's sing this fart together."
Let's all sing this fart together. La 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 la. Merry Christmas to the shredder. La 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 la.
Then at the end, yeah, Splinter singing like the 12 Days of Christmas. So the turtles get him 5 video games, 4 manhole covers, 3 skateboards, 2 comic books, and a pizza with pepperoni.
On the 5th day of Christmas, the turtles gave to me 5 video games. 4 manhole covers, 3 skateboards, 2 comic books, and a pizza with pepperoni.
Why the hell would you get him manhole covers? What the fuck is he gonna do with those?
Hey, you never know, man.
And, yo, plus, those are like city property. They forgot to show the part where the cops are going around like, who the fuck took all these manhole covers? Vandalism.
The weird part is, how the fuck do you get them down there?
Yeah, exactly. Right there. Turtles are teaching vandalism to the kids right there.
Shame on you.
It's on YouTube, so I'd say check this out for yourself just to see how weird this whole thing is. It's bizarre. You just have to see it for yourself. And that is all for me.
All right.
So, I think I will go first. Like I said earlier, we are doing these all in order, so I will be doing Episode 1, The Man Who Was Death. First, I'm going to plug in some Stone Temple Pilots in honor of Scott Weiland, who just died this weekend. Take a break and then come back with some
Tales from the Crypt.
I am smelling like the roses somebody gave me. I'm a
back, kiddies. Time to talk about Tales from the Crypt, Episode 1, The Man Who Was Death, premiered in 1989, June 10th, directed by Walter Hill, guy who did a bunch of action movies from the 80s. And of course, he's one of the major producers behind the show, along with Robert Zemeckis.
And Back to the Future, if you didn't know.
Mm-hmm. And Forrest Gump, Who Framed Roger Rabbit. Just to name a few.
Forrest Gump's gay, but I'll give you Roger Rabbit.
Oh my god. You're gay.
I don't like Tom Hanks.
So, this stars William Sadler as our lead. William Sadler, well, he was in a major Tales from the Crypt thingy years later. I think everyone who listens to the show should know what that is.
And if you don't, you'll just have to wait for the episode.
Yep. Or just look on your own. I mean, yeah, that's amazing, amazing thing about the internet.
But waiting is so much more fun, man.
All right, if you say so. So, this episode begins, as every episode will, with the Tales from the Crypt theme by Danny Elfman. And
great fucking intro, man.
Yeah, very iconic theme right there.
This is my fucking ringtone.
Nice.
Anytime anybody calls me and that shit just goes off, everybody's, what the fuck is that? It's Tales from the Crypt, bitch.
Mine is Power Rangers. Just thought you mentioned that. And as every other episode will begin with the Crypt Keeper. And at this episode, he's looking at a bug zapper. It's about, oh, poor little fellas. When I think of their childhood, all those cute little maggots.
Poor little fellas, when I think of their childhood, all those cute little maggots. Our story is about a man with nobler ambitions. He likes to kill human pests, and he does it in front of an audience. Now that's entertainment! So hang on to your hats, kiddies. This one's a real shocker.
Shoot, what's the name of this guy who voices the Crypt Keeper again? Oh, John Cassier. Yeah, that's right. And yeah, another iconic part of the show. His voice, so creepy sounding.
I just want to say something. First time I watched Tales from the Crypt and I saw him, I knew instantly I wanted to get his face tattooed on my back. I mean, he's just an awesome character to an awesome series. And there's no better place to put him. You know, just get it, like, gigantic on your back.
Yep. And
I don't know, that's just me, I guess.
And something interesting... John Cassier, who voiced Crypt Keeper, also voiced, what's this? Buster Bunny from Tiny Toon Adventures. Yeah, so while he was creeping you kids out, he was also entertaining you. I always thought that was kind of interesting. Well, Crypt Keeper introduces the story, The Man Who Was Death. And this starts off with this guy... waiting for death row. We get a narration from William Sadler as Niles Tabbit. Talk about how Charlie got into his little mess shooting somebody. And we see Tabbit for the first time narrating the story and breaking the fourth wall.
This here is Charlie Ledbetter sitting in his cell out the state penitentiary. It's long about midnight. Charlie's gonna die in a few minutes. One thing Mr. Ledbetter ain't thinking about is Joe Saylor, his old boss. You see, one day Charlie had a half pint of vodka for lunch. He got to thinking about how they turned him down when he wanted that raise. Now, he felt real bad about that, old Charlie did. He'd been working there for about 7 years, and he didn't have too much to show for it. So he went down and got his cold blue .44 out of the glove box of his Chevy, took it up to Mr. Saylor's office. Two slugs went into Saylor, three went wild. Last one went right through a glass wall into a secretary's passing by. Got it right behind the ear. Killed it big as hell. Kind of a lucky shot, really. About the only kind of luck Charlie Ledbetter ever had. I guess right about now, Charlie Ledbetter's starting to think pretty serious about that Valley of Death. He's thinking about that rubber diaper they give him to wear. Wondering if he's gonna crap all over himself when I juice him in a couple minutes. He will.
He does this throughout the whole episode, and it's actually quite interesting. This guy's got some very good dialogue in this episode. He talks about how electrocution is not quite as messy as people would think. Just the worst part is the head smoking afterward. And Charlie is, he's just being dragged, kicking and screaming. He's saying, "Governor's gonna call!" But it's way too late for Charlie. He is strapped into the chair and Niles just fries his ass. Well, after this, Niles, he goes out to the city, giving a little bit more narration.
I'm a country boy, but I like the city. You know? It's big, it's dirty. Let's know what it really is. But at night, there's all those lights. It's real pretty, ain't it? My name's Niles Talbot. I've been the executioner in this state for the last 12 years. When I got here from Oklahoma, I caught on as an electrician, and after a while, I got a job out to the prison, taking care of the generators. I like electricity. It's dependable. You can trust it. Unless they do it with gas or with some lethal injection, I don't take to that. That's how you kill a dog or a cat or something, not a man. It's gotta be the old electric chair for me.
Goes to this diner to get some coffee. Right there on the TV, news reporter is talking about how the death penalty is being taken out. So that means Niles' job is done for. Niles goes over to the warden to talk about if he could at least get another job. Because apparently he used to be the electrician before he was the executioner. So yeah, this guy's just got a thing for electricity. The warden, he doesn't think that's a good idea because prisoners would recognize him. And yeah, it's just not a good idea. So yeah, he's out of a job. He just goes over to the bar to drown his sorrows a bit. Talk to his bartender. They're talking about how Niles thinks there should be like TVs in each of the cells so all the inmates could watch all their other fellow inmates getting fried, and how he thinks there should be executions on live TV.
This one's on me, Mr. Talbot. This goddamn criminal. I can't believe those chicken shit politicians really did it.
After all those years of service, and they canned you like you were some fucking guinea off the boat, you know. I hate to see talent go to waste. It's a fucking shame.
Thank you, Vic. You're a real buddy.
Well, they're doing lots of shows on TV about the whole thing.
TV people don't know nothing. They won't do something good. What they really ought to do is they ought to put a lot of little TVs in all the cells of all the prisons, you know, closed circuit, so that all the guys who's locked up can watch their buddy when he gets cooked. Now, that might be a real education.
Hell, I'd watch it.
There's this editorial on TV, and the commentator is saying how if they televised executions, the whole country would just stop the death penalty. They'd all be too sick from it. They wouldn't let it happen again.
Fucking guys on TV. What do they know?
Yeah. Let me tell you something. They put executions on TV, be the fucking highest rated show of all time. Be Nielsen's through the roof. Other networks would start killing people just to compete. Pretty soon, Geraldo Rivera would be pulling that switch.
Hell yeah.
Very, very messed up right there.
Yeah, you gotta think, that would be kind of fucking crazy if they did put TVs in each cell for you to watch the executions live. That would make all those inmates think about what they did. Give a little bit more narration. Talks about this group of junkies standing over there, saying how he admires them just because they know death is coming, so they're just making it come quicker. But he says
they're teasing death.
Mm-hmm.
It's all a big food chain. We eat shit, and the shit eats us. They canned me from my job because they're afraid of me. They're afraid of death. They don't see it's all around them. It's a disease. You eat it, you drink it, you breathe it, you fuck it. We're all pregnant with it. Growing inside all of us. Like them, over there. You see those two junkies? Pitiful bastards, ain't they? I'll tell you something, though. In a way, I respect them. They're honest. They spend all the money they can get just to shoot a little death into their arms. Just for a thrill. Just get a little taste of the grave. See, they know death is coming. They tease it. I like that. Because at the same time, junkies are shit. Two-bit criminals.
Well, cuts to this court case with this guy called James Flood, and I thought I recognized this guy, and so I looked him up. Yes, I recognized him. One of the bikers from Terminator 2. He's the one.
Dude looks like a fucking killer. He's got face tattoos and shit.
This guy, he's on trial for murder, but unfortunately, the warrant for his arrest had a little bit of an error, so he has to be let go. And he said
they didn't read his Miranda rights correctly or something.
Yeah, something like that. Him and his biker gang are celebrating while the family of the guy he murdered is crying. And he's just telling them, your brother was a faggot. But unfortunately for Mr. Flood, Niles is at this trial. And we can tell from the look of his face, he's got something planned.
I got nothing special against bikers. Hell, I used to own a hog myself once upon a time. Bikers believe in freedom. They don't want nobody to lean on them, and they don't give a good goddamn what polite society thinks of. See, they figure they're throwbacks to real Americans. You know what the country was all about before it all went to hell, with big city lawyers and computers, corporations, time clocks, and what all. There's a lot to be said for that. Those ain't bad ideas. But this biker, Jimmy Flood, now he went way out of line. And he ought to pay.
So, later that night, Flood, he's going over to this fence and he's about to open it. When he is just fried by, like, a million bolts of electricity.
You know, it's funny. When people get electrocuted and they grab onto that shit, they can't let go.
I know, right?
You see it every time. It's like, fucking let go, goddammit! But that's not the case in Hollywood movies.
Exactly. Yeah, cuts to another trial, this time between a guy and his mistress, on trial for the murder of his wife. But again, they're getting let go. And this guy, of course, I recognized him immediately. Garrett Graham, from a shit ton of movies. Shud 2, Bud the Shud, was the foster dad in Child's Play 2. Oh, what else? Yeah, the dad in Terror Vision. Yeah, just an awesome overall guy. And not to brag, but he's another guy I have met, too.
Seems like a real asshole.
Yeah, he always does seem to play asshole characters, but yeah. Like I said, he is a really cool guy in real life. Another trial with somebody getting off easily, and another trial Niles happens to be at. Yeah, he, I guess he just reads about this shit and decides to go to all these, I guess.
Hey, it's free to go into.
And he gives another speech about all these people and how he thinks they should pay. And
this fella, Carney, decides to unload his wife in favor of this little Hotsky that he had on the side. But his old lady had all the loot in her name, so he figured that divorce wasn't quite good enough. I know where his head is at. We all do. Right down there between his legs.
Well, I gotta say this for old Carney. If you're gonna do it, make sure she's worth doing it for. And this girl of his is awful pretty. Of course, everybody knows beauty's only skin deep. Looks just don't last.
We see Garrett Graham and his mistress getting into a hot tub, and holy shit, what a body on this lady.
Well, yeah, course, and this was an HBO show, so there's nudity in this series.
There's nudity, gore, lots of swearing. God bless cable TV shows.
God bless the 80s.
Well, while they're in the hot tub about to get a little nasty, Niles comes along and they're thinking he's going to rob them at first. Niles is saying, oh, I didn't come for your money. This is all about your wife. Well, they're all trying to throw each other under the bus. Too late. I guess he already rigged his hot tub earlier because he just has this remote, hits it, and they are just fried. Well, another case. This time it involves a stripper that got off after killing her boyfriend. Niles is at the strip club giving a little speech about women.
I never had no problem with women. If I wanted one, I just went out and got her. Easy peasy Japanese. Woo! Give me a beer, honey. They just want you to love them, is all. That's all they ever want. They get that from their mamas, from all the trashy magazines they read. It's easy to be successful with dames. Just don't fall in love and you're okay. You give them what they want, you fall in love. They'll kill you. They can't stand you no more. They either dump you and move on, or if they let you hang around, they cut your balls off. Weird, ain't it? Now, as far as strategies for getting into their panties, that's easy, too. The old rule, you treat whores like queens and queens like whores, you got no problem. They're on their backs faster than you can say, Son of Sam. Oh, look at those honeys. And up there, you got the queen bitch herself. Yes, sir, I got just what the doctor ordered for you. You might have fooled that jury, but you didn't fool me none. I wonder how you're gonna dance when I put 10,000 volts through your ass. We're gonna have ourselves one dead little go-go dancer.
About how evil they are and how easy it is to get into their pants. And he spots the stripper in question. She's in this cage, so his plan is to fry her in this cage. Now he goes up to this room with all the controls, but for some reason, his controls aren't working. What is going on? And just at this point, the cops come in, and he is busted.
Makes you wonder, how the fuck did they know?
I don't know.
Maybe because of all the trials, they were keeping an eye out on her.
It could be, yeah. They're at the station with Warden. Warden gives them one hell of big news. Death penalty has been reinstated.
Just for you.
Niles, he's being led to the chair once again. And just like Charlie at the beginning, he's kicking and screaming, saying governor's going to call. But nope, doesn't seem to be that way. Now he is fried, and then we get a little more narration from him saying, oh, they wanted to shave his head because the hair might catch on fire, but he didn't want that because he knows governor's going to call. Nope, sorry. And of course, this all closes with the Crypt Keeper on a chair, giving a bit more puns. And should he never knew what hit him. And what a switch for poor Tappet.
Good. What a revolting development. And what a switch for poor Talbot. It just goes to show you what happens when you get too caught up in your work. Don't worry, though. I'm sure he never knew what hit him. So remember, boys and girls, safety first!
We'll be inserting the clips of the Crypt Keeper's puns, for sure. I can't do them justice.
No, you can't, bitch. Stop trying.
And this episode just wraps up. One episode done. What do you think?
I rather enjoyed this episode, you know? Guy taking justice in his own hands, and fucking justice comes back to bite him in the ass. William Sadler, he's a great actor, man. You know, I really haven't seen him in too much, but anything I've seen him in, he's pretty good. And, you know, I'm probably going to go with a pretty good rating for this episode.
Yeah, I would say the same thing. What really makes this episode, of course, is William Sadler himself and his dialogues. It's just, I mean, it's all about, you know, the cool kills, too, but his dialogue is just so interesting. I could just sit there and listen to him talk about it all day.
The funny thing is he's talking to the camera. He's talking to you the whole time.
Oh, yeah. That's what makes it so cool. And he's just so proud of all his work. But, yep, like you said, it all comes back to bite him in the end. That's such a shame. So, I'm going to give this one a pretty good rating as well. Pretty good first episode of a pretty good show, I'd say.
And there are many more to come.
Indeed, indeed. So, we just want to get to the next one then?
Yep.
Alright. Which episode are you doing?
I am doing episode 102. All Through the House.
This is a well-recognized one.
It is a Christmas-themed one. And we kind of got the idea to start the series because it is December. Mm-hmm. And it's getting close to Christmas time, so we gotta put something Christmassy in.
Yes, yes, yes. So we will take a break and come back with that.
We're back. And I'm doing All Through the House.
Premiered. What? What the hell is that? Huh?
I think that's his name, or is it And All Through the House or something?
And All Through the House, yes. Oh, this is saying the same release date as the last one. That's probably when to...
You know, maybe, like, I think they did two episodes in one day, just because of, you know, it being a series premiere or something.
Yeah, the next episode has a... This might be... I don't know. Alright, well, either way. Directed by Robert Zemeckis. Written by Fred Decker. Fred Decker, of course, from Monster Squad fame. Night of the Creeps. And, of course, the writer of the upcoming Predator movie. This stars Larry Drake. Known for many things such as Darkman and Dr. Giggles.
You know they just put Darkman on Netflix?
Oh yeah, just saw that.
Yeah, I instantly put that shit on my list. I'm going to watch that sometime soon.
Good shit, man. And Mary Ellen Trainer? From a bunch of... Well, she was from I think she was the mother in Monster Squad. And psychiatrist in the Lethal Weapon movies. I think she might have been Bruce Willis' wife in the Die Hard movies, too.
I don't know.
Yeah. It's been a while since I've seen Die Hard movies, so...
I only watched them that one time, so I really couldn't fucking tell you.
Okay. Alright. Go on. Right,
well, this episode starts out, as always, with the Crypt Keeper explaining us about the episode. He's up in a Santa Claus suit.
Kind of creepy looking.
He's got, like, all looking real skin and shit. It's just, it's weird.
Yeah, creepiest looking.
Not something you'd expect from him.
Yeah, but really creepy looking. I mean, he's kind of creepy looking, but creepy looking in a fun way. But this is like... this is a little too much.
Hello, kiddies. Just your old pal, the Crypt Keeper, having a little holiday fun. Why else would I be in this getup? Unless there was a clause in my contract. In fact, I've got some Christmas goose for you. Goosebumps, that is. Yes, indeedy. A little terror tale chock full of holiday fear. I mean, cheer, of course. So, get a gander of a yuletide yelp yarn that goes a little something like this. 'Twas the night before Christmas, and all through the house.
We start the episode, and we see it's snowing outside. Our setting for this movie, it's all, you know, Christmassy. There's Christmas lights, trees, and shit all hanging around. Mm-hmm. Right away, this lady kills her husband with a poker to the head.
Yeah, what was he was saying? He's like, just give it to me, baby. She's like, what'd you say? Do I have to repeat myself? Give it to me. Something like that.
God bless us, everyone. Right. Something needs to be done about that fire. Have you got the poker?
Yes.
Well, let me have it.
What did you say?
What are you, deaf? I said let me have it.
Merry Christmas, you son of a bitch.
I'll give it to you, all right. Bam, dead. Yeah, so she kills her husband, and this little girl, looks like her daughter, comes downstairs right after this happens. And her mom ends up putting her back in bed. And, well, this lady, she ends up calling someone to say, it's done, the money is ours, and everything is ours, blah, blah, blah. She ends up taking his body out back, but meanwhile, we hear that there's a a crazed Santa who escaped from a mental institution on the loose.
Yeah, she just misses that.
Come on, Joseph.
We'll continue our music for Christmas Eve after KEC News on the Hour. And now here's Tracy Donahue with the headlines.
Police and sheriff's departments in the Gaines County area have issued an all-points bulletin this evening for a male Caucasian reported to have brutally murdered four women in the Pleasantville area. County authorities say that the man, a patient at the Pleasantville Institute for the Criminally Insane, escaped earlier this evening and should be considered extremely dangerous. Officials confirm that the suspect is a heavyset man in his late 40s and is reported to be wearing a Santa Claus suit stolen from the home of one of his victims. All citizens in the Pleasantville Gaines area are advised to remain in their homes until further notice throughout this emergency alert situation.
Yep, that's just a red herring with all of these fucking movies, I guess. They'd never hear that there's a crazed maniac on the loose.
Nope.
Well, this guy Joseph, he isn't totally dead, so he ends up trying to choke Elizabeth, but he ends up dying anyways. She hears some sleigh bells and sees Santa. She ends up cutting him with a icicle.
Yeah,
I guess. And I got to thinking, if you're ever gonna kill somebody, why wouldn't someone just use an icicle? You get rid of the evidence just like that. Yeah, I would never, but
yeah. No murder weapon around.
Exactly. You know, I think people have said it a million times. That's like the ultimate murder weapon. But, you know, I'm not ready to give up my life just yet, so. No murdering anybody for me. Yeah, she ends up calling the cops, but hangs up because she killed her husband and she doesn't want cops poking around.
Oh shit, you know who I realize this guy is? The husband?
Who?
That's the coach from Nightmare on Elm Street 2.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. The one Freddy whips in the showers.
The gay one.
Mm-hmm.
We should just call that Nightmare on Elm Street 2. The gay movie.
Yeah, basically is.
Yeah, well, Evil Santa ends up breaking in, but she knocks him out with the end of the axe.
Yeah, I just like the noises he makes, like,
Well, a cop ends up calling and telling her to stay inside, lock the doors. So what does she do? She goes outside.
Well,
to put an axe inside of her husband's head.
Yeah, she just gets the idea it's just to frame Santa for her husband's murder.
Well, it takes her 3 tries to get it in his fucking head. She misses twice.
Yeah, she seems nervous about him. Like, well, you didn't seem nervous when you put the poker in there.
Yeah. Well, the kid wakes up and she sees that there's just this imprint on the lawn. And we know fucking Santa. He's gone.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Elizabeth goes back inside to call the cops, and she heads to get a gun, but she's locked in this closet. We see Santa climbing up a ladder, and the little girl lets her in, and Elizabeth just starts screaming on the fucking stairs, "No!" She's really fucking annoying, but...
Oh, Carrie, thank goodness.
See, Mommy? I told you Santa would come. And he didn't even have to come down the chimney. I let him in.
No! No!
It's almost like Dr. Loomis at the end of Halloween 4. No! No! Should have had Loomis come in there just to do that. And shoot Santa 6 times! Look at my hand!
Gas station of flames! And we get the Crypt Keeper closing out the episode with some really bad puns.
Well, how was that for a scream, poison ghouls? Oh, don't worry about little Carrie. This particular Santa preferred older women. In pieces, that is. Well, it just goes to show you. Be very careful what you ask for Christmas. You might just get it.
I don't really remember what they were. I didn't write them down.
I'll insert them.
Yeah. You just heard it, so yeah, that's all for that episode.
Mm-hmm.
So, Jake, what did you think?
Yeah, this is one of the most iconic episodes ever. I think it's just the whole setting and atmosphere of it. It's just so cozy, feeling yo Christmassy, but then there's this killer Santa out there, too. Just right in the middle of nowhere. And I always like those kind of settings. Middle of nowhere, nowhere to run to. Who had less really creepy looking Santa guy. Makeup they put on Larry Drake for this one is just, so amazing. He's so fucking creepy looking. Especially when
he looks like he's a fucking mental institution patient.
Mm-hmm. And you know, something we're forgetting to mention about all these Tales from Crypt episodes is almost all of them seem to feature somebody that, you know, even though they are the protagonists, they've got some problems themselves, and they're all getting it in the end. And this,
yeah.
This lady, yeah, she is getting hers in the end. I wonder if
the Santa preferred older women.
Yep. Good. So, yeah. One of my favorite episodes. I'm giving it the best rating.
I'm going to have to agree. I think this is one of the most iconic episodes of Tales from Crypt. When you think of that, you either think of the movies or you think of this episode.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, it's just great atmosphere. You know, a couple of good kills. Or a good kill. Because there's only, like, one.
Yeah.
Dude, fuck. Did get that axe on the head. If you noticed, did you see his facial expression, like, changed afterwards? After he had the axe in his head?
I don't think so. I have to go back and watch that.
His face looked a little different. Like, his mouth was open or something. But, you know, pretty funny, you know. Yeah, I think I might go with the best rating. This is one you gotta watch every year around this time, you know.
Indeed.
So, is that all we have to say about this episode?
Yeah, I believe so. Like we said, many, many more awesome episodes coming. So,
okay, I think it's time we take a break, come back, and explain what we're doing in a couple days. And we are back.
Yes.
I don't know any of the music in this song, so I hope it's not shitty.
Well, Scott apparently doesn't notice, but, you know, Scott, he lives under a rock, apparently.
I don't live under a rock, bitch. I've exposed you to new music.
Alright. Well, if you remember for our last episode, we said we'd be either doing these episodes or some Kolchak with Nudie. So, that's what the next episode is going to be. But, we're going to have a bit of a quick turnaround. So, it's only going to be like a few days.
It'll be on Thursday. So.
Yeah. And whether or not it'll be released on the same day or not, well, we will see. I actually got plans for later on that day, so.
Yeah, we're not really going to have much football talk.
Yeah, but, more than likely.
And plus, we're going to, I don't know, we might have like a really short week for news and other shit, but.
Yeah.
Just kind of hoping that Nudie adds that sense of, you know, that extra presence that we need to break most of the silence that goes on through our show.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, if you, guess if you want to leave some thoughts on the Tales from the Crypt or some Kolchak if you're into Kolchak, send us your thoughts, please, at unholymofos@gmail.com. Or, as usual, individually, reach me at JakeTheSnake54 on Twitter.
I'm at unholymofo1.
Yeah, does that dog have a Twitter account?
I don't think so.
Okay.
All right, let's close this shit out.
Yep. So, until Kolchak, peace out.
You're fuckers.
And charity laced with a lie. Still we keep hoping to fix all the defects and strengthen these seminal ties. We go on together for better or worse. Our history is too real to hate. Now and forever we stay until fight for our fates till we die, till we die. The start of the journey is every bit worth it. I can't let you down anymore. The sky is still clearing. Consequence opens the door. I've never stopped trying. I've never stopped feeling like family is much more than blood. Don't go on without me. The beast that I represent compliments each and every one. Till we we'll be right back. confession. But open your eyes. I've never known trust like the night. Let it be spoken. Let it be screamed. They'll never.